Blog Talk Radio.
Your place, love connection. Your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. Here's your host, Dr. Susie.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Your Place of Connection Bible Study. This is your place of love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. Your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. We're so excited to have you with us tonight, which is Tuesday night. And every Tuesday, we are here looking for you from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. As always, we begin with devotion, psalm, scripture, and prayer. Go with me now as we hear from Yolanda Adams. And we're going to start with Open My Heart as we hear from her. And then we'll hear a song from Vicky Yohi. And then we'll have song, scripture, and we'll go into prayer. Our scripture today, Mr. Brian Michaud will please read for us. Isaiah 8, 1 through 17, focusing on verse 17, as we study when God seems distant.
Crying out
Yeah.
Amen. We are thankful for the selections of Yolanda Adams and Vicky Yohi. Amen. Tonight's Bible study is the bomb. It's about when God seems distant. I don't know about you guys, but there are times in my life when God seems distant, and it's I don't like it. It's like when you have someone that you absolutely love, and y'all get in a tiff, and you can't connect. That's the most worst. That's the horrible feeling. Or when you in sin, amen, and you know you can't go before God, or something happens, and it's horrible not to be close to God. And we have lots of examples of that that we'll talk about tonight. So as we look at Rick Warren's Day 14, when it talks about when God seems distant, we'll examine that. I'd like to have somebody, Brother Brian, I think if you read Isaiah 8, 5 through 17.
Yes, I'm reading from the New International Version. The Lord spoke to me again, because this people has rejected the gently flowing waters of Shiloh and rejoices over Rezin and the son of Remaliah. Therefore, the Lord is about to bring against them the mighty flood waters of the Euphrates, the king of Assyria, with all his pomp. It will overflow all its channels, run over all its banks, and sweep on into Judah, swirling over it, passing through it and reaching up to the neck. Its outspread wings will cover the breadth of your land, Emmanuel. Raise the war cry, you nations, and be shattered. Listen, all you distant lands. Prepare for battle and be shattered. Prepare for battle and be shattered. Devise your strategy, but it will be thwarted. Propose your plan, but it will not stand, for God is with us. This is what the Lord says to me with his strong hand upon me, warning me not to follow the ways of this people. Do not call conspiracy everything this people calls a conspiracy. Do not fear what they fear, and do not read it. The Lord Almighty is the one you are to regard as holy. He is the one you are to fear. He is the one you are to dread. He will be a holy place, both for Israel and Judah. He will be a stone that causes people to stumble and rock that makes them fall. And for the people of Jerusalem, he will trap a snare. Many of them will stumble. Many of them will stumble. They will fall and be broken. They will be snared and captured. Bind up this testimony of warning and seal up God's instruction among my disciples. I will wait for the Lord, who is hiding his face from the descendants of Jacob. I will put my trust in him.
Amen.
Amen.
Let's go to the Lord in prayer. God, we come before you, and we are asking that you lead, guide, and direct us on this Bible study. Lord, we are dealing with the question of how do we handle it when you seem distant. Please send the Holy Spirit that it might be revealed to us through the study, through your word, what your desire of knowledge for us. We are trusting you daily as we walk in relationship with you. In your son's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
So, amen.
Tonight, I was looking for the Tyndall English version, and it's usually easily available. And I did not have it. I was trying to find the U-verse Bible, and I actually, Britt is the one who usually has all the different Bible verses. Britt, do you have your computer with you tonight?
Yeah, I do.
Do you? Okay,
yes.
Would you pull up the Tyndall English version of that same
Tyndall?
Chapter that Brian read in Tyndall English, TEV?
Okay, I don't have it downloaded on my pad, but I have to pull it up.
Oh, you don't have it on your pad? That's okay if
no.
You don't have it. So in looking at the Tyndall English version, I'm going to try to see if I can pull it up because it's a really good translation, and I like the NIV, and they may sound just a little bit different. And let's kind of look at those and see if we can pick up any more nuances as we read a different translation. Brett, if you have the message, it would be good if you could pick that up. We're going to
do Isaiah 8. No, the only
Isaiah
one I have
8.
Is the...
Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say the only one I have is the NIV.
Oh, okay.
Dr. Nooks
okay.
is the one that had all those versions.
Okay. Well, I did look through the U-verse, and believe it or not, I'm surprised they don't have a TEV version. And so we won't be reading that today. But we do have the message. Let's see what the message says. So I'm going to read from the message translation. Isaiah 8, 5 through 17. God spoke to me again, saying, because this people has turned his back on the gently flowing streams of Shiloh and gotten all excited over Rezin and the son of Remaliah, I'm stepping in and facing them with wild floodwaters of the Euphrates, the king of Assyria and all his fanfare, a river in flood, bursting its banks, pouring into Judah, sweeping everything before it, water up to your neck, a huge wingspread of a raging river, O Emmanuel, spreading across your land. But face the facts, all you oppressors, and then wring your hands. Listen, all of you, far and near. Prepare for the worst and wring your hands. Yes, prepare for the worst. Plan and plot all you want. Nothing will come of it. All your talk is mere talk, empty words, because when all is said and done, the last word is Emmanuel with us. God spoke strongly to me, grabbed me with both hands, and warned me not to go along with this people. He said, don't be like this people, always afraid somebody's plotting against them. Don't fear what they fear. Don't take on their worries. It's a good word. If you're going to worry, worry about the holy. Fear God of the angel armies. Well, the holy can be either a hiding place or a boulder blocking your way. The rock standing in the willful way of both the houses of Israel. A barbed wire fence preventing trespass to the citizens of Jerusalem. Many of them are going to run into that rock and get their bones broken. Get tangled up in that barbed wire and not get free of it. Gather up the testimony, preserve the teachings for my followers while I wait for God. As long as he remains in hiding, while I wait and hope for him, I stand my ground in hope. I and the children of God gave me a sign to Israel, warning signs and hope signs from God of the angel armies who makes his home in Mount Zion. So that's a little different. But the point is, and I like the ending of Brian's verse better, it says sort of that the Lord has hidden himself from his people. It says, but I trust him and place my hope in him. Wow. While I wait for God, as he remained in hiding, while I wait and hope for him. Wow. What jumps out at you guys when you hear that?
Well, the first thing that jumps out at me is the Lord's always there. It's the perception of the people and the feelings of the people, if he's there or not with them at the moment, but he's always there.
Hmm. Amen. How about you, Rick?
What
there, Brett?
What I got out, okay. Yes, I'm here. What I got out of it was, even though it seems to us that God is not listening to us, or he's not, or we don't feel his presence, he is still there. If I'm not mistaken, the Bible has taught us that God said that he will never leave us. That doesn't mean that he doesn't hear you. It's, sometimes it's just where we have to rely on our own faith and allow God to see that we still believe in him when he doesn't answer our prayers.
Amen. I just was really in support of this chapter that Rick Warren wrote, or his team wrote with him, is that he starts off by saying God is real no matter how you feel. Well, God is real no matter how you feel. So everything I'm hearing is that we have to not let our feelings, come on somebody, lead.
That's right.
I don't know about you all, but I have a tendency to, I have to talk, do self-talk to say, hey, get out of your feelings. You know that the situation is such that you can trust. You know, I had a situation in the day and I had to say, hey, put your feelings aside. You believe in her. You know the situation. That person is going to be there. Move those feelings aside because they're just feelings. You don't always have to act on what you feel or even agree with what you feel. They're just emotions. So we often have emotions because we're human beings, right? But we don't have to buy into them or support them or walk in them or agree with them or act on them.
Amen.
Amen.
That's true.
Amen. We don't. And God promises. I love the scripture that Brett put out. He says, God will promises to never leave you. So God's not the one that moved over in the first place. If we feel distant, it's us. It's something that we've done. It's some sin we've committed. And we know that things aren't right. And we know the God that we serve cannot tolerate the wrong thing, cannot tolerate evil, cannot tolerate wrongdoing, cannot, will not put up with it, can't be in the same room with it. So there's a distance that develops between us. And he, first thing he said, it's easy to worship God when things are going great. Oh, we on fire then, everything. But when it gets rough, well, come on, somebody. When it gets tough, when the health is not perfect, when the family and the friends are gone, when the good weather friends are the only ones around, come on.
It's but almost that.
Circumstances. Go ahead.
It is that when he seems to be the most distant, when you feel the most alone, when circumstances are the worst, that's when your prayers have to be more consistent, more persistent, and more intense.
Amen. That's when
Amen.
We draw close. Amen. That's when we draw close. And you know what? I don't know about you all, but if I'm in a relationship with somebody and I start to sense distance, oh, I'm going to bridge the gap. I'm going to bridge the gap because I don't want there to be distance between me and the people I love. You know, I know the time passes sometimes. My son, Jamie, he didn't call me. So instead of me letting the time go by and say, oh, he didn't call me, what do I do? Pick up the phone. Hey, son. I've been thinking about you. You miss your mama? Call me. No.
That sounds like a mama.
I call him. Yeah, I call him. I let him know I miss him. I bridge the gap. And that's what God wants us to do, to trust him, to surrender, to be present, to reach out, to love. And I don't know about you guys, but I have friends that we are separated, you know, by distance. Sometimes silence, but you know what? If I see them or contact them, it's like, it was just like I talked to them yesterday. Some of the relationships
Amen.
Are so solid that even if we don't talk for a while, we still maintain that relationship. And so we have to understand that Rick says that friends are tested often by separation and silence. Sometimes silence is good, y'all. Sometimes silence is where we get to do our reflection of who we are, where we've been, what we're supposed to be transforming to. You know, are we doing the self-checks and the things to make sure we're being accountable to God for what we said we would do? You know, it's our checkup time.
Amen.
So it's not always a bad time to have some space and some silence. God's not going anywhere. He's right there with us anyway. But it says any relationship involves times of closeness and times of distance. Wow.
Amen.
The distance piece, it's about trust, isn't it?
Cause Amen.
You know how we
That's
are.
Right.
We got distance. We start to feel distance. Then we become insecure. I ain't talked to my girl in a while. What's going on? What's happening? How, you know, I'm insecure how things are feeling. Can I trust that? And I think God is trying to teach us that even when we don't talk or when we sense that distance, because I'm going to talk to God every day. I don't know about you, but I'm on my knees. I'm talking to him in the car. I'm talking to him in the closet. I'm talking to him everywhere I go. And
Amen.
So I think that's what God is looking for, a mature friendship relationship that will stand the time of testing, understanding that God will never abandon or forget us, right? So let's look at a couple of scriptures. You know, I think it's – I'm really, really, really enjoying thinking about this because, you know, in reality, when God seems distant, is a pretty, that's a time to go into, as Brian was saying, check mode, drawing into worship mode. If
Amen.
You hadn't already been doing it. Drawing into celebration mode, praising God. You know, where we draw on the strength that we have in that relationship. So how do you
That's
guys
right.
do it when you have separate times, when you can't hear as well as you used to, or it's not quite as the same? How do you all handle it? You know, the book that Rick wrote said that Henry Nouwen calls it the ministry of absence. And I love A.W. Tozer, the ministry of the night. And what's his name? It wasn't Langston Hughes. I had a name and I was just fitting to say it. But he talked about the dark night of the soul as well as St. John of the Cross. And, you know, we all have our winter of the heart, right? So what is it like
That's
for
right.
you guys? What's that experience like? Can you share anything related to that?
This is Brian. I've had periods throughout my life where I could feel him real close to me. And when I'd pray, it was like he was right next to me in the room. And I've had times when I felt him be more distant. But I've always known he's always there. So I've always known it is the way that I'm perceiving the moment rather than mm-hmm. the reality. You know, that he's just simply always there. But there are times when he puts us in a position of needing to trust him and to have us not feel him like we were earlier, so that we'll correct ourselves and we'll reflect on ourselves and we'll intensify our prayer life. And he simply does that as a matter of course. And we've seen examples of that all through the Bible with many of the prophets. And it's just one of the aspects of how he deals with our weaknesses by putting us in a situation of having to rely on him during those times.
Amen.
I
was going to say, excuse me, I was going to say the way I handle that, I just have a conversation with God. Not a prayer, but a conversation. I'll say, now, Lord, I know you're busy. I know I'm not the only person that you hear, but I understand. And I let him know that no matter what, nothing's going to change the way I feel about him, my love for him, my worship for him. And I truly am blessed because of him, and I have my life because of him. And I tell him the things that I'm thankful for. And I say, when you're ready, I'll be here. We can have our conversation again. And usually within a couple of days or so, hey, you know, it's right back the way it was before.
Okay. Amen. You know, I was thinking about this. And there are times when I remember in my life where I wasn't as close to God. And I knew that there was some sort of sin or shortcoming in my life. And I was quick to try to get it out because I don't want to be separated. I want to feel it. I want to feel and know his presence is there talking to me. I can, you know, God is present with me and leading, guiding, and directing me. I don't ever want to be without the Spirit. And I'm, you know, I'm a little different than Brett, just a bit. But because, Brett, I feel when I'm talking to God, that is my prayer time with God. That is my prayer language. I'll be sitting in the car just like I'm talking to y'all. And I'll be talking to the Lord. But that, I consider that
Amen.
Prayer. And so, you know, it's amazing to me that the Bible says that God called David a man after his own heart. And I love the things that David said when he was complaining of God's absence. Brett, you want to read that piece right there? Page 110.
Which one?
The third paragraph where it says, beside Jesus, David. That piece.
Okay, hold on just a minute.
So,
are you talking about in
Rick Warren's book,
The Driven Purpose? Okay.
In Rick Warren's
page
book, 110. Purpose Driven Life.
Page 110. You said the third paragraph?
Besides Jesus.
Okay, I got 110 and. Are you talking about where it says, tell God exactly how you feel?
It talks about besides Jesus, David probably had the closest friendship with God of anyone.
Wait a minute.
Second full paragraph.
Yeah, I'll let you catch up with it, me. But it says,
I'm on 110, but I don't. Go ahead.
Yeah, we may have a smaller book or something. I don't know. But follow me, and then you'll see where I am. And as I read,
mm-hmm.
if you catch up with me, it says, God took pleasure in calling him a man after my own heart. Yet David frequently complained of God's apparent absence. Lord, why are you standing aloof and far away? Why do you hide when I need you the most? Why have you forsaken me? Why do you remain so distant? Why do you ignore my cries for help? And why have you abandoned me? So we already know, as Brian and Brett have clearly said, that God doesn't leave us or forsake us. He already promised that. Never happens.
Amen.
But if we think he's MIA, he's missing in action, but the reality is it's our perception, exactly what Brian was saying. And, you
Amen.
Know, but I do know how at times in your life you can be so close. Everywhere you walk, you know God is there. You can hear his voice. You're moving to the left. You're moving to the right. You wake up one day and it's like, Lord, I asked that you remove that. Or, I can't find my keys and you didn't help me find them today. Or, you know, you know, I can't get this negativism out of my life. I'm praying for it to be cast out and I can't do it. What's up?
Amen.
You know, you fasting and praying and it seems like nothing's happening. It's just like, well, I did it, just didn't get to eat today. You know, there wasn't any results. I prayed, I read scripture, but everything still seems flat. You know? You begin to wonder how long the gloom, the separation, the days, the months, when's it going to end? And like they said, it feels like our prayers are bouncing off the wall. But you know what? I know my God has promised, and I know that if he says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, that's something you can take to the bank and pocket it. The truth is, all we have to do is continue to lean and depend on Jesus. We all
Amen.
Go through this, you know, and I don't know about y'all, but it's painful to me. I'm like, Lord, I'd rather hear your voice again. I like it when we're close. I'm all wimpy crying and stuff, and he probably sent that going like, child.
Amen.
But I know, you know, that God is there. So, are there some people that you can think of in the Bible just talking that had to feel at some point in time in their lives that God wasn't there or God was distant?
This is Brett. I believe it was Job, wasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. It was Job. Job was one of the people. Is there anybody else you can think of?
Yeah, this is Brett again. I think the children of Israel, when they were still in Egypt, I think that they felt like God had abandoned them until Moses came along.
Yeah, before Moses came.
That's
yeah.
right. That's
and
right.
Also, mm-hmm. And also, doing the point when, you know, right after Moses died, they were probably a little insecure because before then, you know, God was getting ready to jack them up because they messed up so bad. And Moses had to
Amen.
Intervene for them. And now, you know, it's like we didn't have that cushion, that support system that we knew was going to be there, we could lean and depend on. And, you know, I was thinking about when we were talking about who did we think of that had this distance. And, you know, I don't think there was distance with God, but this situation was, he was at least made to know that God was present. And I couldn't help but think about when Daniel was in the lion's den. Remember when he prayed?
Amen.
And I don't think God was distant, but it was just the opposite. Because, I mean, if you think about it, you get thrown into a lion's den, a hungry lion, and nobody messes with you, that their mouths are closed.
Amen.
Come on, somebody. And then when they threw the bad people who complained about them in, they ate them. But so it's good to know that God is there. And I'm thinking about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Was there a time when they wanted, if God going to show up? Obviously it was, because they said whether you, God manifest himself or not, we still, you know, going to stand on what we believe.
Amen.
And sure that, enough, they're thrown in the fiery furnace. Yeah.
Amen. Yeah. This is Brent. Okay. The one that popped in my mind was Lazarus' family, which was part of Jesus' family. And the thing is that when Lazarus died, I'm sure that they felt like
they had that period.
They were let down.
Yeah. Where is God? Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. That's a perfect example. Where is Jesus? You
and
know,
the,
how come you didn't come, Lord? You know, you knew when he needed
right.
to be here. You got all omniscience. Why weren't you here? Yeah.
The last one I'm going to suggest is when Jesus died on the cross. I think the disciples felt like they were lost too. Like he wasn't with them anymore.
Well, and I think Jesus called out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?
Right.
So that's the only time that I can think of when the Trinity, when God the Father had to turn away from the Son. Woo! That's a good one, Brett. Had to turn away from the Son so that he could bear the sins of the world. Lord,
Amen.
Have mercy. So that's tough. The idea of feeling distant from God. Woo! That doesn't feel good. That doesn't feel good. It doesn't feel good. And to me, that's what hell is. Hell to me
Amen.
Is being
that's
separated
right. that is
from
right.
God.
Well, one of the things about when Jesus died on the cross, even God himself got so angry that the ground shook. I mean, light turned into darkness.
Mm-hmm.
So
what was actually happening is that the earth was moaning in response
right.
to what was happening. You know, I
Amen.
Don't think it was so much anger as creation speaking to us about what was going on, because Christ was the creator. And even
Amen.
It even
mm-hmm.
says now that the earth moans for God's return. We grieve for it. We're groaning for it. And you
Amen.
Know that distance is what we're talking about tonight. When we grieve the distance with God's spirit. And it talks about a feeling of abandonment and estrangement. And ask the question, and this is a big question, because it says it's a test of faith. Will you continue to love, trust, obey, and worship God even when you have no sense of God's presence or visible evidence of the work in your life? Come on now. That's deep. That's the question, y'all.
It sure is.
That is, and that's the crux of tonight.
Yes. Amen. So
Dr.
is it
Susie,
easy? Yes, sir.
Yeah, this is Brett. What you asked me to read is I'm in my book on page 108, but under that, there's things that
I already read it.
Says Floyd McClung described it, and this is the way I feel about it, too. You wake up one morning, and all your spiritual feelings are gone. You pray, but nothing
mm-hmm.
happens. You rebuke the devil, but it doesn't change anything. You go through spiritual exercises that sometimes grabs you and you get frightened, but you got to remember that God is still there with you. That's the whole thing about
Amen.
Us believing in God, and he's the living God. We know that he said he's not going to leave us. So if he said that, why are we worried when it doesn't feel like he's in our presence or we're in his presence? That just means that you have to pray more and believe more and worship him more and let him know that you really do love him. Sometimes I think the way that God has us has has created us, it's like when we find the person that we want to live our life with, we have to treat that person like we would treat God. If you treat your wife bad or your girlfriend bad, you're going to treat God bad because you don't know how to love. And the thing is, God wants us to love him and worship him and to praise him. And we should be doing the same thing with the person that we have right next to us, that sleeps right next to us. That's it.
This is Brian.
Really impressed me. Go ahead, Brian.
Go ahead first, please. Okay. I'm going to segue to a parallel and related human story that was an incredibly huge event that never actually got recognition. And I'm quite sure how that happened, but it happened 2 years ago. There was a physicist who, by mistake, was able to theorem and prove the concept of omnipresence. He was working in his field, and he had developed with a network across the entire planet. He had coordinated many, many servers across the whole planet to do calculations of a concept that he was working on in his area of advanced plasma physics. And when they ran the model, it didn't stop. It ran to infinity, and he didn't expect that to happen. The results of his model was a mathematical description, computerized model description of omnipresence. And he was an atheist at the time and became Christian as a result of his findings. I'll explain in a minute, but one of the things that happened was within a month, all of his work, well, number one, he was never able to get his work published in a scientific journal. And number two, almost all of his work, including this work, disappeared off the internet shortly thereafter. And I've never seen it since. But I read several of his papers, but this particular finding showed this. It showed that there was an entity which runs omnipresent and is not bound by time. So essentially, as human beings, we think, well, I'm doing this right now, and so my focus is on this, but I can't be at the same time speaking to my daughter, or I can't be at the same time doing a second task or a third task, because I'm limited by time and my single unipresence as it passes through time. But what he proved was there was a being who has omnipresence, which means there's a being, God, who is on a timeline, an infinite number of timelines, not a billion timelines, an infinite number of timelines simultaneously, which means he's with me all the time. He's with you, Susie, all the time. He's with Brett all the time. And he's able to be with everyone and everything and every plant and every animal all the time through their entire walk through time. And it's mind-boggling, but he was able to mathematically show that we all have the presence of God with us at all times.
Amen.
Amen.
And I think that's what they're showing us, is that instead of us seeking experience with God, we need to seek God. We need to seek God. We need to seek the relationship. We need to seek being with God. We need God. And we need to understand that that's what God wants, is us.
That's right. That's right.
To love
God. And we have to know that he's with every single one of us at all time through our walk, and he'll be with us through eternity. You know, he'll always be with our soul as we enter heaven and spend eternity with him. And so the only separation,
amen.
That's right. You know, so the only separation is in our own mind. Has nothing to do with the reality. It's only our perception,
amen.
and our limitation as humans.
But it's not only that, Byron. Brian, it's the idea that we, in the new heaven and earth, we will see, we will be,
amen,
with God. That is,
that's right.
And it won't be something we got to worry about with our mind's eye. We will see it with our immortal bodies, with who we become. We will be in the presence of God always. Those of us
that's
who are
right.
in a relationship, never separate.
He'll be all our energy and everything we need at all times.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
I don't know that it'll be a he, but it definitely will be a spirit God. Yeah. That's me and my
Amen.
Heart.
This is Britt.
Honey, Susie.
Are you talking about the professor where somebody asked him, where did God come from? And he was talking about a quantum. You got to have time, space, matter all existing at the same time.
And
who are you talking to?
Brian.
Yes, but what he was able to show when the model ran to infinity, which he didn't expect. Okay, he expected the model to asymptotically approach some number,
right?
But it didn't. It just trailed off and it zipped right to infinity. And what it showed him is that time for God, time is multi-threaded in an infinite number of threads, because God not only is infinite, he's infinite in time. So I experience time 1 second at a time, and I can see one thing, I can think about one thing, but he is time. Okay, God is
right.
Everything, and therefore he doesn't have any limit to the number of things he can see simultaneously, and the number of paths and the number of thoughts he can have simultaneously. He has no limit. He's omnipresent.
Amen. Yeah, I think we're talking about the same guy. Because he was asked, or somebody asked him in the class, where did God come from? And he was talking about the beginning of the Bible, where it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And he's talking about, it shows right there, time, space, and matter. You had to have all three come together simultaneously in order for God to exist and to create what he created. And he went on to explain
this
more in detail.
Dr. Susie. You know, one of the most important things for me is, you know, that's a great illustration, but I want to talk about the fact that when we're in service, and sometimes we talk about how we feel the presence of the Lord or how some emotion
right.
connects us. And I guess what Rick Warren said, I think sometimes I don't think it's anything wrong, and I differ with Rick, because this is my philosophy, is that when culturally different ethnicities have learned to approach God differently. For those people,
Amen.
Augustine of Hippo was a black, the church father in Africa. He was a bishop, and he would tell the people then not to be emotional, because that could lead them into sin. And so people from the Catholic perspective began to follow Augustine. Of course, not many people focus on his ethnicity, and many think he was not a person of color in the latter stages till they started to go back to doing the research. But the point is they believed in him, and so they became more stoic. So people of color, on the other hand, lean heavily towards emotionalism to express themselves in worship. And so I hear Rick saying feelings are not the thing you need to depend on. You need to have the relationship you have with God regardless of whether you got a feeling or not. Now, I agree with that. But where I disagree is that feeling of connection with God is what David had. I think that's what David had. I think that feeling is what gave David the passion to dance for the Lord. I think that
feeling
is what we use as baby steps to begin to know him in different ways, know God in different ways.
Amen.
So some people can experience it, and some people may not. But those who do experience it through feeling can utilize that as a means of beginning their personal walk and relationship, growing it to the point to where you don't need a feeling. I love the Lord regardless if I got a feeling or not.
Amen.
I may not hurt. I may not hear from him. It may be a long time before I get what I want. But guess what? I'm on the Lord's side. I don't care what. I'm on
Amen.
The Lord's side. And so
Amen.
When I feel God's presence, I'm not going to lie, and it's a feeling. When I feel God's
yes.
presence, I'm elated. When I hear God speak to me, oh, man, yeah. And you know, somebody
Amen.
May say, you're crazy. What do you mean you hear God speak? In my spirit, I have heard God say, go here, go there. A strong feeling.
There you go.
A strong presence. A strong unctioning. And guess what? It led me to what I needed. And it couldn't have been nothing but God. So I
Amen.
Claim, yes, that I heard and experienced the presence of the Lord leading and guiding me. So, and I think we all can have that type of connection, but it's
yes.
not always there. And the thing we need to understand is that when it's not there, the relationship is still the same. And I had to learn that in my personal relationships with people because, y'all, there's some, and Brit's always talking about women, so I'm going to dog y'all out for a moment. In my perspective, there are some males, right? Some males, some, I didn't say all.
Come on.
Some
come
males
on.
That do not know how to show emotion. So you learn
Amen.
That it doesn't mean that they don't love you, because you don't see it, or they're not showing it a certain way. It's the same way with God. God's still there.
Amen.
God still loves you. But you got to understand that whether you experience the emotion or the relationship or experience whatever, don't look for that. Just know that God is. It may be
Amen.
It helps you grow, yeah, but don't depend on it. Depend on God. Don't depend
Amen.
On the feeling. Let the feeling go. I mean, I'm not saying the feeling's bad, because it may usher you to where God is. But when you mature, just know. Be still and know that I am. That's what I want to talk about.
All yeah. right. Amen.
That's it.
Still
that is
know.
It.
Mm-hmm.
So this Bible study is kind of taking us to some common mistakes that they think that Christians make in worship because we seek an experience rather than see God's self. As we need to tell God exactly how we feel when we get in that situation where we seem to feel God is distant. We need to trust God's promises in the Word and stand on those. We need to focus on who God is and God's unchanging nature during that time. You need to have studied your Bible so you know the characteristics of God so that you know
Amen.
What you can lean and depend on. And so when you hear the
Amen.
Promises, you stand on them. And then we got to remember
Amen.
What God has already done for us. I call it hope, heritage of previous experience. When you know what he's done
That's
for
right.
you, come on, somebody. When you already know Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's what
Amen.
The word said. So if he did it yesterday, come on, somebody. He'll do it.
He gave us our,
You're
he
right.
gave us our throat, he gave us our first heartbeat and everyone since then.
Amen.
Amen.
That's Susie.
So,
spirit.
Yes.
Yes, when you were talking about feelings, throughout the Bible, even in the Old Testament, the word rejoice, when it talks about people rejoicing, what actually is that? I mean, Is that everybody just saying amen? I don't think so. I think it's just like when the Israelites crossed over, getting away from the Egyptians. Once the waters came in and killed everybody, they rejoiced. They danced. They had instruments that they were playing. They were dancing. They were rejoicing in their freedom. And I think when we hear the word rejoice in the Old Testament, that doesn't mean that it was subdued. I think it's something that brings out the emotion in you to respect it in a godly way. And that's what I believe that rejoice means in the Old Testament, even into the New Testament, because when the Spirit of the Lord comes upon you as a Christian, you're not going to sit there and not do anything. You got to move. Your body will move because the Spirit of God is in you. That's it.
But, Brett, there's some people, this is Chaplain Susie and Dr. Susie, I believe that some people who were raised in the Augustinian tradition won't respond that way because they've been trained
Amen.
Not to. So those people who do not respond still have to figure out a way to seek God, to get to where God is trying to take them to. And it's, I think it's just a cultural thing. It's a cultural issue. And how people have been raised. But the bottom line is we're not seeking the experience. We're seeking God, how we can get to God. That's our focus, is to get to
Amen.
God. And so get there when you can. So
all right.
What's the song? You can meet me by airplane. Anyway.
Yeah. That's right.
I wanted to talk about the closing as we close tonight. Can somebody read that last? Brian, would you read that last page where it talks about remember what God has already done for you? Just read the whole page. Starting on 113.
Yes. If God never did anything else for you, He would still deserve your continued praise for the rest of your life because of what Jesus did for you on the cross. God's Son died for you. This is the greatest reason for worship. Unfortunately, we forget the cruel details of the agonizing sacrifice God made on our behalf. Familiarity breeds complacency. Even before His crucifixion, the Son of God was stripped naked, beaten until almost unrecognizable, whipped, scorned and mocked, crowned with thorns, and spit on contemptuously. Abused and ridiculed by heartless men, He was treated worse than an animal. Then, nearly unconscious from blood loss, He was forced to drag a cumbersome cross up a hill, was nailed to it, and was left to die the slow, excruciating torture of death by crucifixion. While His lifeblood drained out, hecklers stood by and shouted insults, making fun of His pain and challenging His claim to be God. Next, as Jesus took all of mankind's sin and guilt on Himself, God looked away from that ugly sight, and Jesus cried out in total desperation, my God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus could have saved Himself, but then He could not have saved you. Words cannot describe the darkness of that moment. Why did God allow and endure such ghastly, evil mistreatment? Why?
Brian, hold one second. What do you think it meant when He says Jesus could have saved Himself, but then He could not have saved you?
Because Jesus is part of the Trinity, because Jesus is part of the Trinity, so obviously he has the power to save himself at that moment. However, he was destined to die on the cross, to spend 3 days in the tomb and rise from the dead and be transfigured. So it all had to come to pass, and it was founded on and cornerstoned on his death on the cross. So that had to happen. That was the scripture.
Amen.
That was the plan.
He specifically came to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. He became our Paschal Lamb, the Lamb that sacrificed on the altar for the sins of the people.
That's
Amen.
Right, man.
And so, go ahead.
Why did God allow and endure such ghastly, evil mistreatment? Why? So you could be spared from eternity in hell. And so you could share his glory forever. The Bible says Christ was without sin, but for our sake, God made him share our sin in order that in union with him, we might share the righteousness of God. Jesus gave up everything so you could have everything. He died so you could live forever. That alone is worthy of your continued thanks and praise. Never
Amen.
Again could you wonder what you have to be thankful for. Amen and amen.
All right.
So what do you think he meant, guys, by he died so that you could live forever? What does that mean? Forever. What does that mean? So he died that I could live forever. What's that? What does that mean?
Me, oh, this is Joan. Just got in. I'd like to share that. That's why I'm much more confident because of that question, is because it's actually the spirit that he's looking for, not the body. So, once our body's gone and the spirit goes to heaven, that's forever, eternity.
Amen.
And that's what made me
Anybody
strong.
Else want to support that? Amen, amen. So, Brett and Brian, any other stuff y'all want to add to any of that? So that we could live forever. He died so that we could live forever.
Well,
so with his sacrificial death on the cross. Go ahead, Brett. Go ahead.
Yes. If you have been reading your Bible, and you would know that prior to Jesus dying on the cross, in order for man to atone for their sins, and that's forgiveness from God, there were burnt offerings offered in the temple. Well, this is the last offering that God wanted mankind to make. So Jesus gave his life so that we don't have to have burnt offerings and go through the rituals that the other people had to go through. So now all we got to do is pray and ask for forgiveness, and he'll give it to us.
Right.
And in doing so, he has prepared a place for us in heaven where our soul will rest eternally. The spirit that God gave us, that he put in us, in the beginning is going
Amen.
To live with him in heaven.
So you're right, Brett. He died once and for all. There needs no other sacrifice because he was the ultimate sacrifice that was enough to cover from now till forever because
Amen.
He paid the price in full. It's called tetelestai. He paid the price in full for all of us so that we can choose. If we are in relationship with God, we can live forever.
Amen.
Amen,
amen.
With the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
So, who's
this is
that?
There's one other thing. This is Britt. I want to point out one other thing. When Brian was reading about all the insults and everything that was said to Jesus about him and everything else. Think about this. We're talking about thousands of years ago. And the thing is, everything that man could think of and say and do was done to Jesus when he was dying on the cross. So he took in all of our sins. So what we are experiencing today when people are talking crazy and stuff, that's already been said thousands of years ago. Does that make sense?
Well, what makes sense, Brett, is we don't have to worry about it because the sacrifice is
painful. There you go.
Totally in full. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. So as we go
amen to that.
Tonight, we want to call and talk to our radio audience and ask that you give us your ear right now. Because Rick Warren has an awesome chapter. It's been a good chapter. It's been a good learning that we don't have to feel that we're far from God or separate from God, that God's always there. But what we want you to think about tonight is if you want to be part of God's family. And if you do, as Brett has said, he paid the ultimate sacrifice so that we never, ever, 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 ever have to worry that our sins have been atoned for. And if you want to be in God's family tonight, if you want to know that God will never leave you nor forsake you, and you want to be in relationship with him, all you have to do is accept the Lord as your personal Savior, your Lord, and believe in your heart that Christ has been raised from the dead, that he sits on the right hand of the Father, that he has all power in his hands, and because of what he's done on Calvary's cross, you believe and are set free. And when you rise, when Christ rose, it gave us the power to also rise with him in eternity. And we will live forever with
Amen.
Our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. All you have to do is ask. And if you've asked the Lord, he's answered you. And if you ask that prayer right now, Lord, that, you know, you hear my cry, I'm asking you please to accept me, that I believe in you, that you died and rose again, rose on the cross, and that you died for me and paid the price in full. And because of that, I stand as a testimony and believe and ask that you take me in as your child and that I can be with you forever and ever and ever. Amen. You are in the family of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We praise
Amen.
God.
Amen.
We ask
Hallelujah.
That tonight, you might join a Bible-believing church where you will get involved and study and become all that God wants you to be as a growing child of God, starting as an infant and growing in Christ, but that you will continue to join us here on Your Place Love Connection Bible Study every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m., somewhat after Eastern Standard Time. God's blessing to be with you. And Brett, is there anything you need to say?
Yeah, invite your friends to join us on Tuesday from 7 to 8.
Awesome. We'll see you here next Tuesday on Your Place Love Connection Bible Study. God's blessings be with you.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Your Place Love Connection, your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment.